Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Psalm 23. Let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Somebody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You want to ask yourself, or you want to ask me this morning, what's the correlation between joy and Psalm 23? I want to tell us this morning that joy is not a function of your emotion. It's not a function of the seasons you are in life. It's not a function of your bank account. But it is a function of your relationship with God. Joy springs from within. We have the promise of everlasting joy in Christ Jesus, but so many of us are not walking in that joy. So many of us are not walking in that promise. And I would like to share some of the secrets that many of us don't know. Some of the secrets that maybe if you know today, you will pay more attention to them. So that you can work on retaining your joy. You can continue to walk in the reality of the joy. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in meat or in drink, but it is in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Brethren, we have been called to joy. We have been called to joy, everlasting joy. Joy, even when things are not moving well, even when things are not palatable, even when things are not favorable to you, we have been called to everlasting joy. And this one of the secret, number one secret to finding this joy is knowing God. Somebody say knowing God. When I say knowing God, I mean having a personal relationship with God. One of the secret, the number one secret to living in abundance of joy, or living in the fullness of joy, living in the promise of joy, is to know God. And that is why even after all that Apostle Paul has amassed for himself, he still said one thing. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Be made conformable unto death. The secret to joy this morning, despite whatever you're going through, is a personal relationship with God, is knowing who God is. Another secret to joy is also knowing who Satan is. And the third secret is knowing who you are. Paul says we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Even though you know God, you may fail, or the enemy may steal your joy if you don't know their devices. If you don't know about their weapons. If you don't know about their technology. There is a technology that has been introduced into the life of every one of us. That is compatible, or that is being crafted to destroy the life of God in you, to destroy your joy. If you don't know it, you will continue to fall short. I pray the Lord will help us and give us understanding in the name of Jesus. What is it to know God? The psalmist says, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You must know the ways of God. Maybe if time permits me, I may talk about How, knowing the devil, knowing Satan. And that one is, none of us like to hear that part, but it is what it is. You have to know Satan. I do digital marketing. You know, one of the strategies for a new business is, number one, go and study your competitors. Do what is already working. Reverse engineer your competitor's strategy. There's what we call stealing your competitor's keywords. Those keywords have low competition. That's why it's bringing them more money. And they are valuable. So one step, when you come to me that you want to advertise your business or you have a new business, the first thing I'll do is to buy a premium software that is able to capture the keywords that is getting traffic to that website. And when I track that keyword, I use it for you. Hallelujah. In the same way, we use that same strategies in this kingdom. We use that same strategy here. One of the ways you can live in everlasting joy or live your full life is to know the strategies of your enemies. Let's go back to knowing God. We must know the ways of God. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to ask us this morning. Do you want God, what God wants for you? Or do you have your own wants? Do you want what God wants for you? Or do you have your own ways? You know, sometimes ago I wanted to travel. You know, not that I'm a traveling freak. I'm not a jackpot freak like that. But, you know, my husband wants to relocate. But so, you know, if you want your marriage to work, you have to do what your husband wants. That's just it. Hallelujah. Or else the marriage will not last. It won't last. So I decided to go the way of my husband. And I applied. Although I got a dream, I don't know how the dream came about, whether it was God or it was my husband that showed me the dream. So I got inspiration to apply to a school in Canada. And then one morning, Pastor Gbinga called me and said that he's seen something wrong with Canada, I should change to UK. In my heart, I said, I've already started. Let us even see the result of this Canada. And then, consequently, I started seeing Satan in my dream. I saw same Pastor Gbinga in my dream, and he told me, he said, Satan wants to, how did he put it? Double cross you. He told me, Satan wants to double cross you. I woke up, I was crying. What did I do? What did I do to Satan? What did I do? I cried. Well, he eventually, double crossed me. Because when God says stop and you continue, the next person you see is Satan. He's a cheap imitation of God. And that is why when Satan is coming to the world, he's not coming as Satan. He's coming like the Antichrist. He's coming like a type of Christ. Have you ever wondered why did they name him Antichrist? Why didn't they name him Satan? For him to get the recognition and the acceptance of Christians, he must be like Christ. That is the only way you will worship Satan. You will worship a Satan that looks like Christ. So we're going to see people going to hell from the church. So I saw Satan because when you stop obeying God, the next person you see is Satan. He says in the book of Isaiah, I will arise and take my throne to the city of the north side. He knows the city. He knows that the seat of God is at the north side. The Bible says that Mount Zion is located at the north side. And that was exactly what Satan did when he wanted to rebel against God. He said, I will take my seat and rise to the north side. Well, I think that's why there's so much persecution in the north. They are very close to the seat of Satan. if you read about the church, it's not a joke. If you read the book of Revelation, there's a church that was massively persecuted. And Jesus said that it is because their church is closer to the seat of Satan. So Satan is a cheap imitation of God. If what you want is not what God wants, the next person you will see is Satan. He will give you dreams. And that's why, don't rely on all your dreams. Subject your dreams to the word of God. Subject your dream to time. Time cannot lie. God uses time to confirm his word. And God is not in a hurry. He holds time. He works in time. Time cannot work against God. He does not work with our time. And the next person I saw was Satan. He started coming, showing up in my dreams. There was a time he came like Agbero. You know Agbero? He sent boys, Agbero boys, to stop my vehicle. They surrounded my vehicle and they took all of us out. Ah, I woke up in that dream. I was like, the blood of Jesus. And fear came. If you had a bad dream, Satan had not yet infiltrated in your space until you start to fear. So this is the strategy. Let me tell you one of his strategies. He will introduce a circumstance. If you don't move, you have passed. Once you move, it comes in. Hallelujah, that's fear. It's fear that gives him, fear opens the door. I sometimes was talking about the enemy within and the enemy without. Without the enemy within, Satan has no power over you. So if he can introduce a situation in your life and you are afraid, he comes in. He doesn't need your permission. Your fear is already a leverage over you. So this is one thing you should learn this morning. Whatever you are going through, don't fear. Even if the heaven falls down to the earth, don't fear. Is what you want, is what you want, what God wants for you. If what you want is not what God wants for you, I'm telling you, you are going to be in big trouble. The next person you will see legally in your space is Satan. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God provides all that we need, not all that we want. I want to go to Canada, I want it so bad. But at the point God said, stop. Even though I told you to go earlier, stop. And that's why God can tell you to do something now and tell you not to do it the next minute. It has happened to me several times. So what if you cannot hear God? You fall into the trap of Satan. Is what you want the perfect will of God for you? That song says, give me bread and give me wine, and I am forever satisfied. You've called me to your table and I will dine. Do we mean the song? When God calls you to his table to come and eat bread and wine, just bread and wine. And it's not a big bread. It's a small wine. Will you want more? Will you think it is small? That's the question we should consider this morning. We can only enjoy the fullness of joy only to the extent of when our will is the same with his will. When our will follows his will. When our want follows his own want for us. Let's continue. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What is green pasture? The Lord has called us to rest. The Lord has called us to rest. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My victory is your victory. He said, we have this victory in him, that whenever we ask him for anything, he answers us. We have this confidence. He said he has nailed to the cross every ordinance that was written against us, and he has triumphed over them in victory. His victory is our victory. He has called us to rest from our labor. But does rest means lack of work? Does rest means no challenges? Does rest means no trials? Does rest means no temptation? No. And that is why he said, come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and take my yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is. So he has his own yoke. But his own is easier. He has his own burden. But his own burden is light. God has called us to rest. But not free from challenges. A sister chatted me up sometimes ago. She said, Sister Buki, do you remember me? So, yeah. I said, yes. And then I checked her chat on Facebook. About 5 years ago, she was praying about three brothers. Three brothers that were asking her out. She said she saw one in the dream. He'll be cheating on her. I said, good. He saw the other one. He just wants a wife. He's a prayerful person. He just wants a wife. She doesn't want to end up with that kind of person. I said, the other one, she's still considering. She's not sure. So the first question I asked her was, who did you choose? So she said she chose the third one. And then, okay, I said, let's speak on WhatsApp. I sent her my WhatsApp number. And then she started saying, okay, the one she married, she started saying all the things that are going wrong in a marriage. You know, the guy doesn't, you know, there are some men that have low morale. I don't know, for those of us ladies, see, if you marry a man that has low morale, that is the burden you will carry in that marriage. When I mean low morale, you convince him to do everything. To write an exam to better his life, you beg him. You're going to do that for the rest of your life. People don't change in marriage. So she said, is God's perfect? I asked her one question. I said, why did you marry him? She said, it's because God told her to marry him. I said, so why do you want to leave the marriage? So when I ask the first question, I ask people who are going through marital challenge, the first question I just ask you, I don't want to start begging you and start quoting scripture because it's not necessary. Why did you marry him? And she said, it's God's will for you. Okay, and I say, okay, so do you want to leave God's will for you? So it's a big question. And then she just stopped. And she said she didn't want to end up like her mother. That her mother married a man like that. And they were always fighting in a marriage. The mother was the one sponsoring all the children. Not that the man was not trying, but he was not having a good job. His job was not as good as the wife. Okay, so for women who are already married to such men, please help your husband. Yes, if that marriage must work, help your husband. If you know you're earning more than your husband, help him. Split the bill sometimes. I know many of us don't like to hear this, but if you don't want your husband to die early, help him. That's the truth. When men say they're having malaria, you know, there's this season they're always having malaria. It's not easy to be a man, and that's why many of us wanted to get married, so that we can push our responsibility. But really, when you get married, you understand that it's not that easy. Because I remember a time my husband lost his job for 7 months. So what if I didn't have my own job? I just went there to, you know, enjoy. So after 3 months, I'll be considering leaving the marriage. You know, sometimes you marry a guy with a car, and after you marry him, he sells his car. What happens to you? So please, let's know what we are looking for. So the first thing I asked her, what did God tell you? Said God asked, I said, okay, so why do you want to leave the marriage? Do you want to leave God's will? And besides, how do you know that there is a better person for you outside? The fact that God promised us rest, he didn't tell you that you would not go through childlessness. So that's why many prophets deceive you, that you should not marry him, you're going to be barren. Most of these prophets see only the challenges. But you should follow he that sees the hand from the beginning. They certified me barren, so they said we can't have children. 6 weeks after that test, I was pregnant. He said, I am God. Is there anything that is too hard for me to do? So for those of us that are contemplating marriage, see the bigger picture. Marry is pattern. Marry the person you are seeing now. Don't marry his future. Say it will get better. It won't get better, my sister. It's not a curse. And that's why they say for better or for worse. It's not a curse. It's real. We are still going to continue reading what David went through. And the Lord was with him. The Lord has called us to rest, but not to be lazy. Let's continue. Chapter 3. He restored my soul. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness. I want to talk briefly about restoring my soul. We are all broken people. We are all broken. Our souls are broken. You know, because of the impact of the fall of man, many of us have baggages. Many of us are broken. Many of us have anger issues. Many of us have we are struggling in our closet. There are things you are passing through that you can never tell pastor. But the psalmist says, he restores my soul. Everything you are going through this morning, I want to tell you, it is to restore your soul. Maybe you're going through a hard time in marriage. Most times, let me tell you, if you married God's will, God will put somebody that is opposite of you. If you married God's will, oh. If you marry, I know what I'm saying. I didn't know until, you know, when you are single, you be canceling people, don't marry this, don't marry. When you get inside, you know. So before you cancel carefully so that you don't fall into that trap. Most times God places situations your way to restore your soul. Most times he gives you a very temperamental husband. He's a Christian, it's God's way for you. Very temperamental. But why did God pair you with such person? It's to restore your soul. It's to build patience in you. It's to build your endurance. Earlier in marriage, you know, I was a motivational speaker. Do this. We need that for your husband. And do this. Be patient. Be kind. Be loving. Your pet him. But when the storm of life, when Satan hit my marriage in 2021, he hit it hard. You see, I'm very quiet. I was not like this before. Okay, Sabusaya knows me before. When I'm on this water, I'll be vibrating, I'll be doing. When they hit me like trailer. You see, I'm now very careful. I don't talk too much. Okay, I'm considerate of other people. So if you are divorced now, I understand what you're going through. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Because marriage is for the salvation of your soul. But if you made a mistake, there are some people that are actually sent to destroy you if you made a mistake. So it's okay to leave when you're being beaten. so that they will not beat you to death. But generally in marriage, everything you are going through there is to restore your soul. It will not kill you. It's not easy to submit to a man. It's not easy to live with a man. I know no married woman wants to share this rema. But that's the truth. It is what it is. And Jesus did not permit us to challenge him, to obey him, even if he's telling you to do the wrong thing. Okay, you know, a woman has instinct. She knows what will turn out wrong. I don't know how many of us know that. A woman can see. A man does not see. He only knows this action. But a woman can see. And when you advise him most times, this thing will not turn out right. And he insists. The Bible says you should submit to him and support him. Because if you don't submit to him and support him, Satan will also enter. Have you noticed? Anytime you did not agree with your husband, for those who are married, anytime you did not agree with your husband, that thing will not work. Satan will go after that project. He will waste your money. It has happened to me several times until I learned my lesson. I noticed that anytime I fight too much, you know, I'm quarreling too much. You know, we just get to very close to our house. Last month, we stop him. The road he has been passing every day. They will stop him. They will harass him. So I noticed it happened like 3 times. So anytime he's talking, I just keep quiet. I just say, okay, God, thank you. Because I will suffer for it. When they collect his money, there's no money to give me. So that's Satan showing up. So you think you want to show him. You don't know it's Satan that wants to show you. Let's continue. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness. Four. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is no promise that you will not walk in the valley of the shadow of death. I have walked in the valley of the shadow of death and I am still here. I am still here. And I can tell you, because I succeed, you have 100% chance. 100% grace to succeed. I had times when I gave birth to my second baby. I had 2 CS for both the first and the second. And then I lost so much blood that night. And then I heard the nurse crying, your baby cannot breathe. He can't breathe. Call your husband. Which husband? My husband has gone home since 12 o'clock. This is 2. He cannot breathe. Call him to come back. How will I call him? These wicked nurses, God will forgive them. Just to go downstairs and bring oxygen. And the baby cannot breathe. So my husband should, if I cannot call my husband from home, not what will happen to that child? But as I laid on that bed, I was in so much pain. And I told God, Lord, please keep my baby. And I blanked out. The next time I woke up was in the morning. The first question I asked, where's my baby? I said, it's fine. There is no promise that you will not go through the challenges of life. God didn't promise you that your journey will be smooth. But he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be happy, because I have overcome the world. Because I have overcome the world, you will overcome too. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're in your valley of the shadow of your own death. I want to tell you, I survived it. I have lived in my short Christian walk. I have lived to prove God, that God is God. He's not a man. I have prayed and I have seen answers. I have seen Satan afflict me. I see Satan in my dream. And he saw me, he laughed. When I was having issues with my marriage, did you believe that Satan planted a man to also be showing me love? As spiritual as that, he's not even scared. He's not even scared. You know, I don't know. This guy has so much audacity. He doesn't fear you. He doesn't fear. He's not afraid. He did not believe. He still believes in his heart. The same way he believed in his heart that he can bring down the seat of God. He believes he can bring down the throne of God. And that is how he's daring you. He believes he can bring you down. That's why he brings depression to you, so that you can doubt God. Will you let him succeed? Will you let him laugh over you? Let's continue. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, some of us are praying wrong prayers. God will not kill your enemies. God will not kill your enemies. Because their time is not here. Their time is not now. What did the demon possessed that came to Jesus? What did he say? He said, have you come to judge us? Because it is not our time. Have you come to judge us before our time? And Jesus knew that it wasn't their time. And they made a request, cast us into the swine. And Jesus granted their reply. He granted their request. That is because if you like, pray from now till tomorrow, your enemies will not die. But there is a right prayer to pray, that the Lord will give you grace to stand, that the Lord will give you strength to fight. The enemies are not going to die. So don't be surprised if you are praying and the enemies are multiplying. If the enemies are taken out, that means you are dead. The only way your enemies can end is when you are called home. When you are called home, they will leave. They will go to other people. That's the only day you stop having enemies. That's the only day they stop chasing you. That's the only way they stop disturbing you. So a strategy or a prayer to pray is to pray that the Lord will anoint you and set your table in the presence of him. God is not afraid of Satan. Satan is not a problem to God. In fact, Satan works for God. Before he does anything to you, he first reports to God. He cannot permit him. In fact, it is outside his jurisdiction, it's outside his power to touch you. So he comes and takes permission from God before he touches you. So Satan works for God. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So your enemies are working for you, my sister. You will come out, my brother. Tonight I saw some of us in dark moments, dark times. Dark times are when things are not moving well. When you have prayed and prayed, and it's as if God is not answering your prayers. I want you to know that there is no promise that there will not be darkness. There is no promise that there will not be night. But joy will come in the morning. Another key or secret to everlasting joy is to own your suffering, own your challenges. Don't ever blame God for whatever you're going through. Don't ever ask God questions. The first person that blamed God for his wife, since that day, God stopped giving people wife. He only guided you, oh, there's a lady there, go like this, go like this. If you see her, fine. Do you like her? He never did it again to bring a woman and say, this is your wife. marry her. He didn't do it. After that day, Adam said, was it not the wife that you gave me? Was it not the wife that you gave me? God wants us to take responsibility. He wants us to hone our life. Hone it. Hone your challenges. Be in charge. He said he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Have you ever seen a king that never fought battles? Have you ever seen a king? Even Abraham fought. As a king, you must reinforce your authority. You must enforce your authority. You must enforce your authority and judge every disobedience. You must enforce your authority and punish disobedience. You give them orders. When they disobey, you bring down the judgments of God upon them. You tell him he's not allowed to encroach into your life. He's not allowed to touch your children. He's not allowed to touch your husband. You give him instruction. Have you ever seen a king that never fought war? You must master warfare. You must master warfare, because that is the only guarantee that you will retain your kingship. That is the only guarantee that what God has given to you, the enemy will not take it from you. You must master warfare. I didn't like warfare. I used to say all the time, "Is he is the troubles of life that taught me warfare." I thought life was simple. If your husband is angry, you beg him. You'll be okay. But when Satan turned my husband against me, I was the one that called my father-in-law and said, "I'm not interested in your son. I'm not interested. I'm going." I called my father and told him the same thing. And my father said something I cannot never forget. He said, "Have you told God that you're leaving the marriage?" I cannot pick and tell God that kind of thing. I can't tell him. It's because you have not seen warfare. That's why you think everything is rosy. They will come to take your children from you. And who gave them the audacity, you don't know. The fact that somebody is God's will for you does not mean that there will not be challenges. But this morning, I want you to stop shifting blame on those who asked you to marry her. Stop shifting blame on those who asked you to marry him. And hone your troubles. Hone your battles and fight them well. Endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. That was the word God told me. I said, God, why did you lie to me? Why did you deceive me? Why did you deceive me? You didn't tell me all this. And immediately, the Holy Spirit warned me, don't say that again. I didn't tell you. What do you mean I didn't tell you? I didn't tell you. Don't say that again. And I remembered that I've seen it, but I didn't understand. So most times when God wants you to do his will, he hides understanding from you. If it will work out in your favor. This morning I want to ask you, would you rather marry at 40? Or marry at 30 and divorce at 45? Or marry at 40 and be happy forever? Will you rather marry at 25 and lose your husband at 35? Or marry at 35 and live happily forever? I'm not saying anything. I'm just trying to tell you possibilities. There are possibilities that we don't know because we are man. We are frail and our days are short. But keep on holding on to him who sees the hand from the beginning. He sees the hand in the beginning. Why don't you trust his judgment even if he doesn't favor you? The secret to retaining your everlasting joy this morning is to know God and to know his ways. And David is a perfect example of somebody you can learn the ways of God from. This is how God behaves. Sometimes he doesn't give you what you want. And don't kill yourself over it. Don't hide your decisions from him. Don't hide what you are doing. Because it doesn't turn out well. If you hide it from him, you cannot come back and challenge that, yes, I've come. You told me to do this. And I think that was one of the reasons God fought for me. He fought for me like a lion. He fought for me like a lion. He said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. But now I know why I went through everything I went through. Then I cried. I said, God, kill me. Kill me. If you know that you're going to give me a failed marriage, kill me. Kill me. But I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. Master your battles. Don't blame God for your mistakes. Don't blame God for bad times. Don't blame God when things are not working well for you. Because he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come into the heart of man what God has for those who love him. He said, for the suffering of now is not compared to the glory that lies ahead of you. He said, before you were born, I knew you, and I have called you forth to be a prophet to the nations. I understand why I went through everything I went through now. Because I can, so that I can be a good priest. I can be a good priest. I will not judge too suddenly. I will not judge too easily. And that was why Jesus was sent to suffer like his brethren. To suffer shame so that he can understand what it means to be ashamed. To suffer pain so that he can understand when we say we are feeling pain. Before, God didn't understand. He needed to come to know how it feels. Whatever you're going through is good for you. Whatever you're going through is good for you. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. He loves you. Satan is working for your good. I will go. I will go with you. And where you lead me, the Lord. I will go, I'll go. I will go with you. The Lord, all I want is for you to be the Lord, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you. I was sent here for you today so that you don't lose your joy. God's here, I should tell you that he loves you. God says I should tell you to be strong and be of good courage. God says I should tell you, should go back to the prayer altar. God says I should tell you, not to be sad, not to be discouraged. Because you will understand much more later why you pass through the things you're going through now. But later. For you. God wants to be closer to you. He wants to show the shepherd part of himself to you. He wants you to be a good sheep. He wants you to submit to his will. He wants you to be obedient to him. He wants you to take your prayer life seriously. He wants you to love him. He wants to always see you dance. Dance for Jesus. Always dance for Jesus. Always lay down your crown. Lay down your crown and worship your king. Worship the author and the finisher of your faith. God wants you to always sing whenever you are going through hard times. Don't allow Satan to win over your life. Don't allow Satan to laugh at you. God wants to have a special relationship with you. He wants you to love him more. He wants you to see him as somebody that can be trusted. God can be trusted. Trust him. God can be trusted.